Hey guys, welcome to episode 325 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Arias, and in this episode, I'm speaking with Kwa Nguyen. I know him on Facebook. I feel like I've known him for a long time. We conversate a lot on Facebook, and then this time, it was just me and him conversating on the podcast. And he is the spouse of a dentist, and they both opened up a startup practice in Houston, Texas. They are now currently 3 years into their startup, and he talks to us, no holding back anything. Like, it's just the ins and outs of everything, the struggles he's gone through personally and at the same time in the business. So what we discuss is how they found their space for their startup. Why did he have to start laying off his assistants? He discusses some issues with his assistants as well. We also discuss how does he deal with a disgruntled employee and not take it personally all the time. Because if your employee, you know, you give them everything, you open up to them a lot of the times, and then sometimes they just blow up or they become toxic or something. And how do you not take that home all the time? And what does he do, right? So he discusses that. We also discuss what's been his worst day since day one of opening and how did he deal with it? How would he have dealt with it now? So we dive into that. We discuss some of the best companies he's worked with. We also discuss when did he start breaking even. And we talk about lawsuits, how some patients, I mean, this might happen to you, right? Threatened to sue. So what to do when a patient threatens you with a lawsuit. We talk about that. And we dive into a little bit more of his personal life. If you are someone who's working with their spouse, right, or your significant other, your partner, it can get rough. It can get difficult. It can get heavy. And that's what he discusses. So he shares with us extremely important advice that his psychiatrist told him. And I couldn't agree with a lot of it more. I mean, it was amazing. I'm so happy he opened up with us and discussed all this. So guys, without further delay, here is Kwa Nguyen. Well, how's it going, man?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for asking. Right now, if you don't mind me asking, where are you from?
I am from Houston, Texas. Nice, born man. And raised.
Where did you go to high school in Houston, Texas?
Believe it or not, I went to this high school that's called the Becky for Health Profession. So I was technically on the road to becoming a doctor, but I got to college and discovered it was a lot more fun. So instead, I married one.
Got you, man. Got you. Okay, so then what does Vivek call it? Dental spouse support? Gina Dorfman and Vivek say something like they're a DDS dental something spouse. I don't know, but that's what you are, right?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Yeah. We're dental spouse supporters or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Good enough, awesome. Right?
But so, okay, I'm only asking that because I'm from Rosenberg, Richmond. Then we moved to Sugar Land. So that's why I was like, oh, okay. Houston.
Are you in Sugar Land now or you're still in California?
No, I'm in California, LA still. Although everybody's moving to Texas, you know, like out there.
Yeah, man. It's a new Silicon Valley.
I know. Austin's going to be, everything over there is going to be popping, actually. Houston, Austin. It's nice. That's really, really nice.
Well, you know, whenever you move closer, let's hang out.
Yeah. Cool. If you don't mind me asking, you specifically, do you just work with Dr. Mai or what's your role here?
So I started off my career in oil and gas, worked my way up, almost got to the operations manager. It was good money, you know, so I figured while Dr. Mai was in dental school, I'd do the single jobs, you know, the single higher paying jobs requires longer hours, things like that. So it gave me a lot of management skills. After that, I went over to banking where I kind of refined my sales skills and customer service skills a little bit more. And then Dr. Mai had our second baby. And, you know, it was one of those, she wanted the office to be for herself and her thing. And I obviously wanted to break into the dental field. I just have that confidence where I feel like if I put my mind into something, I can figure it out. So we used the maternity leave as kind of a test trial you know, we butted heads like crazy, man. It's not even funny. Like shouting matches, I threatened divorce, all that good stuff.
Wait, you did this during the startup phase?
Yeah, so she started in February 2018. We had her baby in August 2018.
Okay,
and on top of that, we moved houses.
Wow, that's a lot of stress, man.
Yeah, I wanted to move into the house before we had the baby because I knew if we didn't, we would never move. That was the main thing. I think we moved like 3 weeks before August or something like that.
Gotcha. Okay, so then continue. Sorry for the interruption. I was just wondering, so you guys were in shouting matches?
Yeah, we were in shouting matches because I saw things from a different perspective, right? She had done the clinical side and worked at it quite a bit of many practices and, you know, kind of took a little bit from everything. But for me, I just felt like my strength was I didn't have any of that background. Like, it wasn't okay just to do something a certain way. I always ask questions, you know. It's like, for example, a working interview. At one point, she said that one of her practices did a working interview for $10. And I was like, no, dude, that's not fair, you know. Or like some people like dragged on working interviews. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's against some type of Texas Workforce Commission law, you know. Obviously, I had to buck her on that, so to speak. Many different things. Like, I wanted to expand faster than she was ready for. You know, like, we start off with 3 ops, and I said, hey, look, the numbers are showing me some good things. I think we should go ahead and open up 4 and 5. She kind of pushed me on it a little bit. I did 4 instead of both. And as soon as we got 4 up and running, she needed it. And she was like, man, I'm glad we really did that. And we did 5. And this year, just last month, we added the final 2. So 7.
Wow.
In a matter of 3 years, man. We're running on 3 years right now.
3 years. Right now, are you still in the banking or no?
No. I completely quit that job whenever we decided that we could work together and have been doing this full time.
Gotcha. Okay. At any moment, I think this is kind of tough. Like, this is a hard, I guess, situation for you and I guess for Dr. Mai, because like, would you say it's Dr. Mai's dream to do the startup or was it yours?
I would say more so it was my dream. So what she would do is she'd go to these various practices and say, hey, man, I wish, you know, she got so frustrated because they wouldn't do this thing that she thought that would be more efficient, or they didn't do this, they didn't do that. And I said, you know what, if you're so annoyed of all these places, why don't you go and open up your own practice? And
yeah.
I really had to convince her. Even then, I couldn't fully convince her. It wasn't until we went to the rodeo one year, and I remember this very vividly. It was a chain smokers, right? And we got the 7th floor, which is like you get the whole floor, you get all you can eat and all you can drink. And I saw one of my college buddies there, and I was like, hey, man, look, Dr. Mai, she has all the aspirations to open up a practice, but she's not willing to do it. I need you to talk to her because, you know, you hear it from somebody else, more likely you're going to hear it better, right?
Uh-huh.
And man, the very next day she woke up and she's like, you know what? I think I want to do this. I was like, seriously? 6 months and now you want to do it?
Yeah. So like, what other person? So then what did you guys do for the loan? Like, how did you, from that point on, what was the journey like?
So I always helped her with the loan portion of it. So I had worked at Wells Fargo and Chase, right? So I knew Wells Fargo had a really good practice financing for like dental offices. So we went with them first. Some of the people that I used to know there were no longer there. So they kind of dropped the ball. And I met this really good guy in, I think it was Columbus, Ohio, from Bank of America. And he, man, he was like the epitome of the best banker you can ever think of. He helped me in and out. Like, I would trust him every step of the way. Obviously, I still did my due diligence. But, I mean, even whenever the PPP loan came out, I gave him a call and asked him. He gave me advice, said he wasn't an expert, but still pointed me in the right direction, you know.
Wow, what's his name?
His name is Stephen Green. More than happy to give you the contact information.
Yeah, we can put it in the show notes below for other people. So you met with him, you talked about it. How much was the loan that you guys were approved for?
The loan was, I believe, a little bit over $500,000.
Okay, and then that covered everything, right? Like, you guys did a startup from the ground up, or was it an acquisition, transition type of thing?
It was from the ground up. We just leased the area, the space. But, I mean, it gave us enough. I think it gave us $75,000 in working capital with us spending, you know, not frugally, but being aware of where we can spend more of and where we can be a little bit more tight.
Gosh, how'd you find the space that you guys are currently in for your startup?
The space, we went through multiple real commercial real estate agents, and I was still at Wells Fargo at the time, and one of my buddies came in, he deposited a big check, and I was like, man, what do you do? Had a conversation, turns out he did real estate for Jefferson Dental, and I was like, well, shoot, if that's the case, we're looking to open up a dental office. Why don't you help us out? You're a friend for many years. I'm going to trust you more than, you know, some random guy. Mm-hmm. And the original commercial real estate guy, he's a great guy, but he just didn't get what we're envisioning at the time.
Gotcha. What were you envisioning at the time?
We wanted a less saturated area. So we're in Houston, so it's not really uncommon to have a practice that's 3 miles away from you. There's so much market share that you're going to not really be competition. So we had looked somewhere more up north of Houston, Tomball. And at the time, whenever we did the numbers, the ratio was so good that we wanted that area, you know. I mean, he kind of started looking out in that area for us, but you could tell that his heart was more towards the Houston central area.
Gotcha. Okay. That's the thing. Like sometimes I feel like realtors' emotions are involved in their decision-making that, you know what I mean? Instead of like, oh, we got to cater to just the person and what they want, like what you want, right? They're kind of like, nah, you want this instead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I feel like he's been doing this for a while, right? So he's helped many other dentists be successful. So he kind of knew what he was doing, you know, it just wasn't right for us. So I really don't want to bash him because I feel like even if we went with him, we would have had successes, but doing it our way, you know, it just makes us feel more accountable and makes us feel a more sense of pride when we're successful.
Yeah. How many ops do you have right now?
We have a total of 7 right now.
And at the beginning you plumbed all of them or no, or yeah. Oh.
Yes, we plumbed all of them, but we didn't have chairs or anything. We just did 3 ops for like the first year. And then whenever I joined on towards the end of the first year, saw the trajectory and said, hey, we need to go ahead and add 2 more.
Gotcha. Okay. And then from the very beginning, or right now, how many employees do you currently have?
That depends on which day you ask me. My goal was to get 6 dental assistants and 3 front desks. I got to 5 at one point, and now I'm back down to 3 dental assistants. But I finally got a second front desk that is potentially be my office manager in training. My first front desk is awesome, but she's going back to college to be a dentist, and I would never, ever hold anybody back, you know?
Wow.
So I was like, as much as you can help me train the next person, that'd be great, because you would essentially help me out because I trained her on everything that she knows. Like right now, I'm not even at the practice because I trust her so much.
Yeah, that's good. That's really, really good. So then why did you lose the other people, the other assistants?
Let's see, which big layoff did we want to talk to? Some people, I'll just talk about the most recent one in Christmas. Man, I felt like I paid them above market price, above market value, right? And I even told them, like, the way I am with our employees, our teammates, I'm very open with them because for me, and I think I heard this on, you know, your podcast with Vivek, and like, if you start to lie, you're going to get caught in a lie and then you're never going to get out of it. So for me, the best thing to do is just be honest with them, you know? Like, maybe it hurts, but at least they know, right? But I was always honest with them. I told them, hey, look, you're the highest person I've paid for a dental assistant. I expected your skills to be a little bit better. I expected you to be more organized. You know, we have to follow the rules on set expectations, following up, figuring out ways of improvement, and then giving them a chance to improve. And that just never happened. You know, they're just, hey, give me my Christmas bonus. I worked hard, but sorry. You know, I mean, yeah. Like three of them left after Christmas. That was it.
Did they just leave, like get up and leave and not tell you, any, like ghost you? Or did they like, hey, here's my 2 weeks?
Well, one of them told me, hey, my husband was going to get a job, so I'm going to put my 2 weeks notice in. And for this particular one, I wasn't a big fan, but she was good enough to sustain the front. And she left me the next day. She was like, oh, you know what? Actually, my husband has to go to work tomorrow. And then I call her like maybe, and she offered to help out if I ever needed. And I call her maybe 2 days later and she's like at a concert. I was like, okay. Yeah. And then the other one, so I paid her, I want to say like 3% above market value. And I even gave her a fat bonus for the short amount of time she was with us. And she gave me a huge text message saying that I made her empty promises. Whenever I gave her the bonus, it was like a slap in the face. And I was like, wait a minute. Whenever I gave you the bonus, you told me that I helped put Christmas, like I helped you guys celebrate Christmas. So how did I slap you in the face by giving you a bonus?
Yeah. So, how much was the bonus, if you don't mind me asking?
The bonus was $500 and she worked there for 3 months.
Oh my gosh. I've never even gotten a bonus for that.
Well, on top of that, I did performance bonuses. And then I think we were just getting the iTero Element 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. So whenever I talk to the Invisalign people, the support team, they have somebody that comes out and like will coach you on best methods to do it. So I said, if anybody can get under 5 minutes, I will give you a $200 bonus. I even gave her that. But for some reason, it wasn't enough for her. It was a slap in the face.
What did she expect? Like, did you ask her like, okay, well, did you not want a bonus? Like, I don't understand what the slap in the face was here.
I mean, honestly, after that, she wouldn't even talk to me. It was a long day for me where I actually had to scrub, do all this stuff. So I went home, spent a little time with my kids and went to sleep. It was like 8 p.m. And I wake up the next morning to her with a really long text at like 9. And then about half an hour after that, she's like, well, if you're not going to respond, I'm going to quit because I was expecting a raise. And whenever I didn't get it, it was a slap in the face. I was like, when did we ever talk about giving you a raise? I told you, I am not going to lowball you. I'm going to give you the high dollar amount because in my mind, you got the experience. You seem to have the talk, you know, like be able to walk the talk. But ultimately, I mean, the office became more of a mess. She was a good assistant, but not necessarily a good leader. I hate to say that losing somebody is a good thing, but I think it was a blessing in disguise. The team that we have now, I like so much better. Yeah. And they're all fresh out of school.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I was just talking with Dr. Addison Killing, and he's one of the biggest regrets he's had in his startup is not letting go of people who were, you know, sucky. Like toxic or whatever.
Yeah. You can't hold on to people that are toxic for too long.
Yeah, man. How do you deal with that, man? Like, I feel like waking up in the morning to like a message like that and disgruntled employees and being like all that stuff. Like, oh my gosh, I would freaking hate that. How do you not take that home? Or do you take it home?
In the beginning, it's just like whenever you get a bad review, right? Whenever we got our first bad review, oh my God, I agonized over it for like 2 to 3 days. What could I have done better? How can I respond to this, you know, correctly? Should I call the patient? And then I had this movie, I forget what the movie is, but basically in the movie, they had a bad review. The guy took him out to dinner. And then the guy that gave the bad review added on to the bad review saying, hey, look, this guy tried to suck up to me, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, like, Chef. Is that the movie called Chef? Right. Yeah. I want
to
say.
I thought it was, I mean, we'll have to look it up. I thought it was the guy from 40-year-old Virgin that did it.
Oh, maybe you're right. No, forget it.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, I did take that one particularly to heart because I felt like she could have been the one, like she could have had the potential. I just felt like she had too much baggage on her because whenever I read the messages, I was like, dude, I didn't do anything wrong. Like I really wanted to keep her. So, you know, I almost begged for her to come back, but the more I read into it, the more I consulted Dr. Mai, they're like, dude, like, it's not worth it. You know, if she's going to cause drama this early, imagine what she's going to do to the other employees. She's going to start getting in the ear, starting rumors. And like you said, it becomes a toxic environment. We had that for a while. We had like two or three around the same time. And that's all they did was gossip or pick out something bad. And everybody just hated coming to work, not just us, the front desk and all of our dental assistants.
Man, that's tough. Yeah. If right now, would you say, because it's kind of happening like all over the country, but like, would you say it's tough to find people coming in for interviews and stuff like that, or now over there right now, the market's like,
it's super tough. It's super, super tough. Especially if you're looking for somebody with experience, you know, they, with unemployment, with all of these temp agencies, they run for the big dollar amount, not really realizing that they're going to have to pay the taxes in the end anyway. You know, like if you're a W-2 employee, you're going to be responsible for less tax than if you're a 1099, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, and even then, just finding good quality. So that's just temp. It's just finding good quality people. And it's hard to come by. We get so many no-shows. Oh, my God. Dr. Ma and I used to get so angry whenever we got no-shows because we would, like, load up a whole day at Starbucks, right? And we would sit there and just wait for people to come. It's like, what's going on, you know? Yeah. So now we're just like, hey, look, we're going to have somebody interview them over the phone. If they sound good, if they come in, they come in. If they don't, they don't. We'll move on to the next one.
Yeah. Are you talking about no-shows like for employees or interviews, or are you talking about no-shows like patients?
No-shows for employees. Like they confirm the interview. They confirm the address. No-show. Came in for a working interview. No-show. Like, you know, I can't even count how many times this happened to us. Like, I've almost become numb to that.
Oh, man. So that's how you handle with the employees. How do you handle the no-shows in patients?
The no-shows, Dr. Mai and I had two philosophies, right? For her, it's like, hey, if they don't no-show, if they're going to be late, you should instill some type of fine, like a $50 fine for no-show or something like that. In my opinion, that puts a bad taste in the patient, right? So if this is their first time and you say, hey, look, you didn't come, so the next time you come, you're going to get a $50 fine. They're not going to come at all, right? And if it's like a patient that you've worked with, usually you're building relationship with them, you know? They're not going to say, hey, I can't show up just for no reason. You know, they're going to give you a pretty good reason, and they're respectful of it too. So we made a kind of a blend. It's like, hey, we have this policy that if you don't show up, then you need to cancel within a certain amount of time. If not, you're going to be assessed a fee. And most, you know, all the patients that we love always tell us beforehand. The patients that don't show up that we've never met, we probably don't know if it was a good patient to begin with.
Yeah, because that can be hard to, I guess, assess them a fee if they're a new patient and like they've never been in your practice before, you know?
Exactly. So
for that scenario, what do you tell them? Like, okay, you know, well, this is a warning. Next, reschedule,
yeah,
you know?
We'll give them warnings. Yeah, we'll give them more. I think it's like if it's an existing patient, then we'll give them two warnings. And if it's a new patient, we'll put it lightly, but we'll say, hey, you know, if you need to cancel next time, please give us 48-hour notice.
Yeah, I got you, man. Okay. So that's interesting. Since the day you opened, because I remember when you opened, like when you guys were about to open until right now, if you can recall, what's been your hardest or like worst day since day one, and how'd you deal with it?
Worst day since day one. Man, that's a tough one. There's a lot of tough days. Dealing with the patients that won't listen to you is going to be the worst one. But we had a patient, right? He was pretty much a full upper denture that needed to be made for him, right? But on top of that, he had cavities, he had gum therapy, or he had a periodontitis. He had a lot of other things that needed to be corrected first before we can even get the denture fit. And he's a business owner, so I get he's always busy, right? But the thing is, whenever the denture was ready to be delivered, or like the different stages where you're trying in certain parts to make sure it fits right, he would miss some or it'd be too long, and then the adjustment had to be made. Basically, by the end of it, he wanted a full refund for everything, including the other work that we did. We were way earlier in the practice, and in my opinion, he was throwing a fit in the office, and honestly, the amount of money that he paid us was not worth like a bad review or, you know, other people second guessing us. And I just gave it to him. Dr. Miami was like, wait, what? You should at least charge him for this and that. And I was like, look, man, the guy's a business owner. And he said something to me that made a lot of sense. He's like, hey, look, if I provided you a service and the main part of the service wasn't good, would you feel right about paying, you know, for all the little things, or would you want a full refund? And I said, you know what? I'll give you your free refund.
How much was the refund?
$3,000. And $3,000 at that time was so much money to us.
It still is a lot of money right now, man. What you talking about?
Well, you know, cool. Well, I mean, it just hurt a lot more.
Yeah. Wow, man. And so did he didn't leave anything bad or anything like that?
He didn't leave anything bad. I mean, he came back in pretty angry saying that. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to let him have it. And after that, I could tell his demeanor changed. He's like, wow. He was kind of surprised that I gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've never heard from him again.
Dude, go to his business, buy $3,000 worth of something, and then just be like, I want a refund. See... See what he... that can be tough, Claw. That can be like...
You know, honestly, in the beginning, whenever we first started, I would have been that vengeful type of guy. But
no, just kidding.
At the end of the day, it's not worth it anymore, you know? And it's just like, let's move on. Let's concentrate on other people that appreciate our help. And then I know a lot of people talk and say, hey, you know, you need to care about the patient, this and that. But I genuinely do care about that. You know, a lot of my past careers have been in customer service. And because of that customer service, I get a lot of repeat, I get a lot of referrals. And I just firmly believe in if a patient comes in, they need to have the best experience that we can provide. And if we can't provide that, then I'll have to let them know. I'm like, hey, look, I've had to do this on multiple patients. So if you'll see me on Facebook sometimes, I'll just say, dismiss the patient, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The reason why I say that is, look, if you're not satisfied with the service I'm giving you, I'm supposed to be putting my best foot forward, right? So if you're not appreciating the service I'm giving you, I don't think there's anything I can do better. So I think you guys should go ahead and find an office that fits you better. In my opinion, obviously, if you're in your practice, you want to take anybody and everybody, right? Whether they give you a headache or not. But we're in year three. I like to say that we're doing pretty decent for ourselves. And I want to say that we're at the position where we can turn away these, because we even have patients that almost turned into lawsuits.
Are you serious?
You know?
How'd that happen?
Yeah. It was an old lady. She had all kinds of medical issues, dementia. What is it when you forget, you know, your memory is shot, bipolar. She had multiple conditions, and her son was the one that brought her to all of the appointments. And we read all of her medical history and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But whenever the doctor was talking to her, she was so coherent. She seemed like she understood everything. We didn't think anything of it. You know, we're just like, hey, you know, we're taking care of her. The son wants to pay. He wants to pay. We didn't realize that he was actually signing her stuff, wasn't on her HIPAA form. And yeah, so she had a lot of, remember I told you she had all these mental issues. So she kept bringing the fact up that her tooth looked too big. And we were like, what are you talking about? It looks like super even. Her son threatened to harass us. She even came and asked for a refund. And you know what? I was actually willing to give it to her because I felt bad for her. She was like in her 80s. But then she got her daughter involved, who I'm not sure if she's a lawyer or if her husband's a lawyer, but she tried to threaten us. She was like, hey man, like you're going to be spending so much money if you don't just give me whatever money that, you know, we gave you. And I almost did all the calculations. I was like, hey, look, this is how much you paid us. And any discounts that I give you, I have to give back to the insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, man, I'm going to be down like $6,000-$7,000 by the end of this. And it's over your son. So, I mean, we have malpractice insurance, right? And I called them. They said, don't give them a dime. You know how many calls we get like this? I received that threat call on a Friday, and I knew exactly what to do. Is just, hey, let me call MedPro before they close, right? Mm-hmm. And the two agents that talk to me, they're like, well, you don't know how many of these calls we get because they think that you're going to panic and just give them the money. I was like, I'd rather speak to a lawyer first to tell me that I need to give them the money than just to just flat out do it, you know? And on top of that, I asked the doctors that worked with her, and they were very confident in their quality of care. Not like they just screwed her over.
So that lawsuit never went through.
That lawsuit has not yet gone through, and I will knock on wood, and hopefully it won't go through. But
how long ago was that?
Man, this was like mid-2000. When did COVID happen? 2020?
Yeah.
So it was mid-2019. We almost finished the case. And then after COVID, she came in to ask for the refund.
She just recently came in.
In 2020, not 2021.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So like once COVID had already happened. Got you, got you. Wow, man.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
What was the company that you called? The one?
It's a Medical Protective. So Medical Protective was a malpractice insurance. We were able to get it pretty cheap. So whenever Dr. Mai got out of school, I was into the whole finance thing. So we were able to look at it and even upped her premium because of the price point. You know, at first they were like, oh, we sold this guy. And I was like, no, I think this is going to be a good idea because I'd rather have the higher coverage now because I'm feeling it's going to go up. And sure enough, one of my associates is her cousin, and she's paying almost twice as much for her same protection.
That's good, man. That was smart then. Yeah. The refund that you had to do, the lawsuits and everything like that. And at the beginning, you said, like, when y'all were doing the startup, there was like shouting matches and everything. Does this affect like the personal side of you guys?
It did. It did. So we just had our third kid, right? She's about 3 months old. Before that, there was a space next to us that I wanted to expand into. I said, hey, look, the numbers are showing me that we should do this. Like, I wanted to expand before opting out because I wanted to. So what we do is we also get specialists to come in. We have OS come in once a month. We have pedo that does, general anesthesia cases once or twice a month outside of the facility. We have prosthodontists come in and do some implants, things like that. So we have a lot of specialists that come in and help us out. And my intent was, for one, get a bigger break room for everybody, and two, to like make that wing either like the specialist wing or like, you know, the problematic kid wing. And it was like adding another 5 ops. But Dr. Mai didn't want to go through that pressure again. You know, we're about to have a kid. And for me, the numbers were just right. But I realized that at the time I was working like 9 to 9 and then came home, put the kids to sleep. And then I'd stay up to like 4 or 5, however long I stay up, just because I felt like the work never ended. Right. But, she told me, she was like, look, I don't want to do this expansion because I feel like I don't have a husband anymore. And our kids don't feel like they have a father anymore. And that was my turning point. I was like, look, honestly, what my type of ambition, I wouldn't want to do this. But what I told her, and she might have misconstrued it a little bit, was I told her that, look, as long as I'm working for you, with you, whatever, and the expansion is on the table, I won't give you any type of issue. If you want me to work with you and you tell me that you never want to do the expansion, I'm going to resent you. And I don't want to resent my wife. Mm-hmm. So that was, and she was like, I'm open to it. And here we are now with 3 kids, got the full 7 ops opt out. And I have no aspirations to open up to expand right now.
That was like a thing that you wanted to do back then. And then now you're like, I don't want to do it anymore. Cause that's kind of heavy, man, to be like, hey, I'm going to resent you if we can't do this, you know?
Yeah, no, she told me that too. She told me she asked me how I would feel if I said that to her. And I was like, you didn't listen to how I said it. I said, if we do this together and you take it off the table, I'm going to resent you. But if we do this together and it's on the table, just we'll do it at the right time, then we're good.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You know, Yeah, because our office is pretty small. It's not small in the fact that it has 7 ops, but it's small in terms of like additional space for like a break room, things like that. It's a little cramped, right? It's good because then you keep your employees working and, you know, it's hard for them to hide. But at the same time, you want to be able to give them a little bit more comfort. And, you know, like I said, I ran the numbers and I had big plans for the other side. And that's still in the cards. It's just now that we have a third kid, we've got some life things that we need to figure out first before we go that route.
Yeah, because that can be... Where do you think that comes from, Carl? Like the ambition and everything like that? Because I feel like, where is the, I guess, pause button on that?
The pause button on the ambition?
Yeah, like you get home and then your mind's still thinking about stuff, right? Business-wise and everything like that. You're on a date. Are y'all talking about it? You know what I mean? Like, where's the pause button where you're like, hey, man, we can probably not, or you don't have to. You know what I mean? There's people who just like, no, this is our lives. We're always going to talk about it. It's up to you, you know?
Yeah. So around that time, we had almost a breaking point to where we went to see a therapist. The therapist wasn't the right person because basically what happened was she was like, well, if I stepped out and it's the best thing for the practice, then you should do it. Because I told her, I was like, I'm willing to step out. This is supposed to be your office anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And after that, she cried. She was like, look, I was hoping to go to a therapist to find a resolution, not to kick you out of the practice. So I was like, well, then let's not do that then. You know, what we used to do in the beginning was we followed a lot of people's advice and, hey, look, you need to keep work separate and personal separate, right? So before we got started, I said, hey, Dr. Mine, look, if we had separate jobs and I came home, I would want to vent about my job and you would want to vent about your job. So we have to have husband and wife time. And then we have to have boss and employee time to where we're discussing work, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't work, you know, because then you're venting and then it spills over into professional arguments. So what we started doing is we started setting up meetings, and it could be just an easy meeting to come up with the agenda so that the next meeting will be more productive. But it takes us out of the personal a little bit more, and it makes a meeting more organized, and it allows us to actually talk about work when we're not at work in a non-confrontational manner. You know, like we're okay. We try not to not mix it. We actually mix it. We feel that it's better to mix it. But when it comes to making decisions and things like that, then we have meetings and we take care of that at work.
That's smart, man. That's smart. I know, I guess it's sometimes it's all about like, I guess, reading the room or reading the person, right? Like if you were to mention something about like, oh my gosh, can you believe the employee did this? And they're like, I know, right? But you're at dinner. That's cool, you know? But if you're like, oh wait, let's not talk about this and talk about the cheesecake in front of us. Then we're like, okay, now you're just like, you're forcing it. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're forcing it. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you hit it right on the nail because that's what we were doing. It's like we started ignoring. We started forcing talking about something else, and it didn't work either.
Yeah. Because that's, I mean, this is kind of like your fourth kid if you think about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The business. So you're going to talk about it. I mean, you're talking about your kids. So, man,
that's it.
That's pretty deep, man. That's pretty heavy that you guys had to go to therapy for it. Are you still guys in therapy or not?
So that was the only session that we went to, and we figured it wasn't good for us. Dr. Mine helped me with this, and I said, hey, look, I still have some issues that I want to discuss, right? Because I'm so ambitious, and if things aren't going my way, I tend to lose my temper. And I have this saying that I hate being right, because if I'm right and people don't listen to me, then that means I got to go back and fix everything, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever I could have just prevented it in the first place. So she actually looked up a psychiatrist for me that I go to now. And man, to be honest, our lives never been healthier. Never been healthier.
Really?
I mean, you would think 3 kids would be extra pressure, but I go home to the kids. I work about 6 hours a day now, man, versus what did I tell you before? 12 hours plus whatever I would do at night.
Yeah.
I work 6 hours a day. You know, I go in, I make sure everything's good with the team. I mean, obviously, I have the luxury of being able to hire some good quality people, but it took us 3 years to get these people, right? But now that I can trust them, I have the ability to not micromanage them, but manage them. And if they need help, I'm a phone call away.
Could you share with us one thing that you learned in your psychiatry sessions that somebody in your position right might be in right now, where they're like super ambitious, they're like, no, we got to get this done. Maybe they micromanage. I don't know. You know what I mean? But could you share like one pivot point for you?
What he told me on our first session is there's three pillars that are the most important, right? The first pillar is going to be your mental stability and your mental health. So you got to figure out what makes you happy and work at that. Secondly, you have to figure out the people around you, like the social support is going to be very important to you. And at the time I was like, man, forget that. Everybody's against me, you know, forget that. And then the third one is physical health, because the more you're working out, the more you're actually building your mental health, right? So I had to take one stage at a time. He told, you know, I had to say, hey, you know, let me work on myself, see what I'm doing wrong and try to correct it. After that, man, I let so many grudges go. It wasn't even funny. Like, I would hold grudges for like 20 years because somebody screwed me over or said I couldn't do this. And I just wanted to prove them wrong that I could do it. Right.
Yeah.
And after I was able to find that peace, I said, man, F this person, you know, like, I'm going to do me. Right. And that's whenever it opened up to the second one, where I started letting Dr. Mai in a little bit more. Like, I would tell her what we said during the session, but then after a while I would say, hey, look, this is what he told me. I want to discuss with you and get your opinion and kind of have a more open conversation. And then I started, you know, doing what everybody on social media says to do. Everybody says, you got so much negativity, block them, you know, pick the people that you want to be like. And all I did was find people that are motivated, that are like-minded, surround yourself with them. And next thing you know, you become more positive. And then finally, I started working out about a month ago because I gained like 40 pounds after I got happy. So whenever I was working those long hours, I dropped 40 pounds, man. I was like a stick. Everybody was like worried about me, thought I was doing too much drugs. I was like not touching a single drug. And now, of course, now that I gained 40 pounds, everybody's like, man, you're really fat. You need to get in the gym. I was like, you know, when I tell those people, I say, look, man, I get to sleep. I get to hang out with my kids. I get to eat. I'm happy. So if you want to make a comment and say that I'm fat, because that actually hurts my feelings, then you can just be out of my circle of friends.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. But at least you're working. Now I know why you blocked me on all social media and everything, man. Everything makes sense now.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, bro.
Not you. I only blocked you on Twitter.
No, man. Man, that's, man, caught to hold a grudge for over 20 years.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot of, you realize a lot of the things, what you're doing now, you're like, oh my gosh. Like when you let go of it, you realize like, why did I push this thing to be bigger or better? I'm happy where I'm at.
You're absolutely right. And you don't know how many people told me that I need to let it go, that a weight's going to be lifted off my shoulders, but you're not going to do it until you are ready, in my mind. You know, like I was not ready to let go of that grudge, and I didn't. And now, honestly, I can't even remember half the grudges I used to hold because I feel like I'm so much more at peace with myself.
Yeah. And then it's weird because like, I feel like in that moment when someone tells you, hey, you got to let it go, or hey, calm down, I hate that. I'm like, man, don't tell me what I got. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You get more mad.
I know. You just gotta be. I don't know. You just got to have that, like you said, peaceful mindset. Working out helps a ton. Man, there's a lot, man. We're going to transition here a little bit. And then I wanted to ask you, when did you start breaking even with your practice?
We fortunately started breaking even around the third month of the second year.
Third month of the second year. Okay, awesome. And then currently, how many new patients are you getting?
Anywhere from 60 to 80 new patients a month.
Nice, man. That's not, what are you doing right now for marketing and advertising?
We're doing mainly SEO. That's been a good thing for us. Obviously, you know, I know you from ground marketing. We did a ton of ground marketing in the beginning. You gave us the blueprint And then we just kind of got more involved with community. But ironically, you know how I mentioned earlier that I didn't want to be in a city where it was saturated?
Yeah.
There's four dental offices in every corner around us, but people choose us. So we just felt like the SEO was the way to go. And we did flyers too. In the beginning, we did ground marketing. I remember Glenn Bowe doing the EDDM. Uh-huh. I did tons of those flyers, did different routes, did specials. We have like nail salons. We did specials with them. So like if they did a giveaway for lashes or something like that, we would do like a whitening or something like that. And I recently reached out to Tyler Brady. Uh-huh. And asked how he got these influencers in, because that's one of my targets as well, is to start doing that.
That's nice, man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Interesting you say that, because I don't know if you saw like a couple posts, but people kind of say like, oh, SEO's dead. Don't even do it. It's a waste of time, waste of money. But it's interesting how you're like, nah, man, that's it.
So before I did, I think it was right around the time I did Oil and Gas. Remember when Words for Friends came out?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so whenever Words with Friends came out, I wanted to make a game that was similar to Words with Friends. I don't know if you ever played Worms, where you shoot each other, take turns shooting each other.
No, I never played that.
No? Okay, so let's just say dominoes, right? Uh-huh. Let's just say dominoes. So I really like the concept of playing against each other and, you know, just being ready whenever it's your turn. But with that, I had to learn how to do a lot of SEO, so I understood the basics, you know? And from that understanding is like SEO doesn't happen overnight, man. You know, you have to refine all of your keywords. You have to make sure your website's good. You got to get all your track numbers so you know where your leads are coming from. Then you know where to focus your ads. We currently spend too much on SEO. So I'm actually in the process of looking for a cheaper SEO company that's going to provide a similar value. But like I said, it takes a while for you to actually build up that traffic from the website. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it about 3 months. It's going to be like a fifth of my cost. So with the four-fifths of the savings, then I get to use that for Google Ads to focus on things that we're doing. You know, like Invisalign, laser treatment, sleep apnea, things like that, you know?
Gotcha.
Implant restoration.
Yeah, that's going to be good, man. All right, so then one of the last questions I want to ask you throughout this process, from the moment you did your startup till right now, what's been some of the best companies you've worked with and some of the worst companies?
Oh, I don't want to talk about the West Coast. What companies do you meet?
And just, it can be like, oh, my contractor was great, sucked, or it can be software companies. It can be marketing, anything, just to you in general, okay. Like what's been the best and worst.
So the best thing that happened to us was J.A. Green. They're a contractor out here in Houston. He's kind of like a small time guy that just likes the BS, right? But he's gotten a lot bigger. He treats all of his clients well. He remembers us. Like he went out of his way to make sure that we get those two last ops done correctly. I love Flex. I used to use Yappy, and I love Yappy because of the dashboard they had, but Flex is so much cleaner, the way it goes into your system, the communication with your patients. I love them. Callforce, you know, I think I talked to Michael Lumiton with DSN, and he was like, really, you use Callforce? And I was like, honestly, man, I have one front desk and myself, and she's not going to make as many calls as Callforce, and it's $25 for an appointment that's scheduled. You know, we actually put it on the spreadsheet, did the numbers, and it made more sense to do that than not. Nice. I use Concierge Call Service to pick up my phone calls and leave they'll leave a message on my comm log, because, I mean, I used to have every missed call go to my phone, so I know there's a missed call. And then I would call myself. And on top of that, I would have them give me a message saying what the patient said. I had to disconnect a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know what most people say, like people like Scott Luna, they're like, hey, you know, a missed call is a missed opportunity on a patient. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we outsource quite a bit, even our insurance verification. I don't know if you know Verifix. We outsourced Verifix because I got tired of training somebody for for like 3 months so they understand how to do it correctly, just for them to quit.
That's true. Didn't think about that. Yeah, so, for them to quit.
Honestly, what Verifix is like, what, $9? I forget what it was, $8.99 for like the full breakdown. Guess how much I got to pay an employee to be on hold for, you know, for an hour? $10 to $12.
That's true. When you do the math, yeah, you're right. Never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So then that's the best companies. Any companies where you're like, oh, wasn't that great?
I feel like I got rid of most of them, so I didn't really give them too much time, you know what I mean?
Okay. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And plus, you know, with social media, I really hate to drop bad names anyway, even if I could think of something.
Yeah. No, I get you. I get you, man. Okay. All right. No worries, man. So then with all that being said, to you from the moment you also opened up to right now, what's been some of the best things that's happened so far in your personal and also like in the business?
So for personally, the best thing that's happened for me is being able to get to understand my wife's point of view. Don't get me wrong, we still butt heads, but I understand the way she thinks more. And now I know why we work, right? I think of a situation one way, she thinks of a different way, but we're really trying to get to the same solution. And obviously my baby girl, my first and only baby girl, changed my life. Every time I'm in a bad mood, she smiles at me, I smile back. The best thing that's happened for us in the office is making our systems. You know, that was something that we put off for a very long time. Instead of going home when we're slow, we said, no, everybody's going to stay here and everybody's going to help us put this together. And, you know, now we have a system to where an extern or new dental assistant comes in, they have somewhere to start. Because, you know, Dr. Mott's going to be seeing patients. I'm going to be doing my thing. So we're not always going to be there. I would love to, but it's just not viable.
That's good, man. That's good that you're like, you guys are growing together, learning, understanding the business, everybody, you know what I mean? In your town, your community, each other.
Yeah.
Your kids. Man, yeah. I'm going to be in the next 6 months or a year. It's going to be exciting to see like where you guys are at now. Kid number 8. And then you have 2 practices and a mansion in
So I got cut on 420 after I got my girl. I'm not having any more kids.
Oh man.
I'm not even kidding. Like I announced it to the world. I didn't mention Verifix, my partner and I actually own because we found that bottleneck. So I know Vivek has terrific and I heard so many good things about his company and how he integrates with Open. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but Vivek is like my mentor from afar. Like, I respect everything that guy does, and I don't even think I've met him personally yet.
Vivek, yeah, but he's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, so you were talking about Verifix or
Verifix is Vivek's company.
Yeah.
Verifix is my company, along with my partner, Sajin Charolia, Dr. Charolia.
Oh, so you created your own company?
Yeah, man. Like I told you, I trained at least 3 front desks to be good at verifying insurance, and they left. And around the same time, Dr. Trolia said, dude, do you want to just like share somebody? And I said, yeah, I'm down. I'm down with sharing somebody. But then that person quit. So we're like, okay, how about we find somebody trustworthy, we train them, and then have them train other people. And we used it for about a year and a half or so between just the two of us, our practices. And then we said, hey, man, these are pretty good. And they're saving our staff so much time. Why don't we market it to other people right around the time that Verifix came out? And I was like, dang, man. Like I told you, Vivek is like my mentor from afar. So I'm like, he beat me to a punch in.
Wow. How come nobody calls me to open up stuff with me? Man, I want to share money, but it's okay. Man, that's awesome. That's so, I never knew that.
I'm open to opening up a deal with you with the dental marketing team if you like.
Maybe, yeah. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a little bit offline. But that's awesome, man. Yeah, Vivek's a really good guy. I always learn a ton from him. Super, super open guy. Maybe we all got to three do like a round table one of these days. But if anybody wants to reach out to you, if they have questions, concerns, anything like that, where can they find you?
Harris.win@gmail.com. And anybody that reach out to me, I'll help the best I can.
Guys, that's all going to be in the show notes below. So definitely go in the show notes below if you want to pick his brain more, talk to him about his business, things like that. Definitely go in the show notes below, reach out to him. And Carl, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon, bud.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, man. You have a good one. It was really nice hearing from you. Hopefully everything's good with you as well.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Qua, thank you so much for just being open, man, and talking with us. We truly appreciate it. I know right before he was about to record with me, he was busy. He had to he had to do a lot of things because I believe, I don't know if I can say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyways, Qua, because I know you're cool. You're trying to sell your house right now. So then you had to, clean it all up and everything like that. Make sure all the kids are, he has three kids. He was doing all that. And he had time for me to be nosy and dive into his life. So I truly appreciate that, man. We truly appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. And guys, if you want to talk to him, reach out to him, go in the show notes below or join the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group. On there is where you can reach out to him, check out his businesses or check out his practice and just pick his brain, talk to him a little bit more. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. Don't forget, screenshot, take a picture, do whatever you want and share it with me whenever you're listening to the episode. So if you're like driving or you're doing something else, you're on a run, if you're one of those people who run and listen to podcasts, cool, that's cool. Or if you're just cooking or something like that and you have the podcast playing, take a picture of it, share it on Instagram. You can tag me under The Dental Marketer or share it in the Facebook group or wherever. Just let me know and I will share that because that makes me so happy. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate you always for tuning in and I will talk to you in the next episode.